Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Conte prefers to join Spurs and Wolves are living at large. It's Tuesday, 2nd of November. Welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidhu Shanantharaja.
Morning, Vatishan.
Morning, mate.
Good to see you. Good to be in a room with you, Jim Campbell. I thought I wasn't going to have the pleasure of eviscerating you personally after yesterday.
It's a lovely welcome, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it?
But thank God you're here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's chilling.
You had such a lovely show
absolutely
yesterday.
I did.
I just feel like we should.
Well, I knew this was going to happen. I was trying to enjoy it while I could.
And yeah, okay.
To be honest, it was like an afternoon.
Yeah, so that's true. Have you ever...
Yeah, give me that.
Do you have many other things in your life that have lasted such brief moments of sunshine?
I don't want to go into that on this podcast.
All right, then.
It's one for the doctor, really.
Okay, yeah, good.
You're in a mood today, aren't you?
Do you think so? Yeah. I'm ready for the second half, is when we'll be discussing Tottenham.
I fell down a mountain and gashed open my knee, and it's been maybe 30 years since that wound is open, but I can open a few now if that's what you're... That's what you're asking of us. Jeez. Straight into gym.
I was about to be seriously sympathetic, and yeah. you just mocked me.
No, just because this, I'm annoyed that mm-hmm. my club has inadvertently done to your club what should have happened to my club.
Yes.
So, yeah, so I think we'll talk about that later.
The vortex, isn't it?
It is. We are into vortex. But we're going to start with Wolves Everton because that was the game last night. 2-1 the final score in that one. Kilman and Jimenez, the two Wolves players on the score sheet, and then there was a consolation for Alex Iwobi. I liked the little Jimenez chip over, although Ben Godfrey, bloody hell, that was. Is it all right to just be like, that's cringe?
Yeah, you would cringe if you'd just done that, wouldn't you? Just like, yeah. Oh no!
It's just the back pass, and then Jimenez ran onto it. It's
like an incisive
for the
through
second
ball,
goal. This
essentially.
Is yeah,
it's so
lovely.
Bad for your team. It's brilliant for the other team.
Yeah,
yeah. That's not ideal, is it? Just nice to see how sharp Jimenez is, though, isn't it? Like Hwang and Jimenez, it's just pleasing.
Trips off
everything about that is as a partnership is really, really appealing. I love it.
Yeah, I was going to say that I think because he was injured for so long and because of his stature, when he comes back, you assume he plays, you know, a certain way. And then you see him run with the ball as he does and you're like, oh, yeah, I totally forgot you're this, you know, such a well-rounded forward.
Yeah.
I remember I saw him. Do you remember when, I don't mean to do this because you're here, but it's just, it was a game that really stuck in my mind because I was there and covering it. But the 3-2 the Wolves had over Spurs where, you know, Spurs took the lead and they came back and he scores the third goal by putting Tanganga on his arse.
Yeah. Yes.
Just really nimble footwork for someone who you think actually the threat comes from his shoulders and, you know, making himself busy and annoying defenders, but he does so much. And him and Juan running together.
Yeah.
It's such a, it seems to be,
Two powerhouses.
Yeah, it seems to unlock something in Jimenez that he's able to go wide and Juan's able to go wide and knowing that one of those two are in the middle.
Yeah, Wang Yichang ran on, the way he ran onto that ball that was for the are you allowed to call it a goal? The goal that was ruled out for offside for the first one.
Yeah.
That was lovely as well. And I exactly agree with what you mean. Also good to see Max Kilman getting his first for Wolves. 24 years old. Apparently, he was playing futsal just 5 years ago and then joined non-league Maidenhead in 2018.
Yeah, he's had quite a strange career trajectory and he's been in and out of the team. But it seems like they've got a real gem there.
Mm.
And he's a unit as well.
Yeah. Well, it's quite funny that he started in futsal and scored a header and that hasn't scored. Yeah. Hasn't scored before.
Yeah, that's the
maybe
trickery.
He wasn't any good.
Yeah, we don't know how good he was.
Go and join Maidenhead.
Yeah,
this is
that's got head in it. Just stop using it.
Also thought Trincao was good. Yeah, I it was a lovely performance from Wolves. Since the start of September, Wolves have picked up 16 out of a possible 21 points in the Premier League. So that's 5 wins, a draw and a loss. Only Chelsea and Arsenal. Woo! Jim, have managed more in that time. They have had 18 and 17, respectively. Bruno Lage, speaking afterwards, says, the winter will be hard for us. We have a small squad, Vish. What do we think? Is he getting his excuses in first, or is he just being honest?
No, I mean, do Wolves hibernate? They probably do, don't they?
I don't know.
No, they don't hibernate.
Do they not?
No, I don't think they do.
Right. Oh, yeah. Because they're like.
They didn't last
hunters.
Season.
No, they did. Right. Okay. You haven't fulfilled your fixtures. What are you doing? Why are you in a duvet? What are you playing at? Christmas is the busiest period for us. Their form has been quite interesting because, you know, when they lost those first three league games, to watch them, you would see something there. It wasn't just the case of, you know, failing to come back after Nuno. They were playing better football. You just, you know, they didn't have the tangible results. And then this run of form has coincided with them basically beating teams around them, which has therefore helped them like take a step up in the table. It's almost like they've stepped on the shoulders of the people they've beaten, you know, most recently being Everton. But they had, you know, they beat Southampton who were around them, then they beat Newcastle who were struggling, they beat Villa who were kind of passing them on the way down, and then obviously this Everton game. And I suppose like with only 10 games gone, it's quite natural that that would happen. There is going to be a bit more flux in positions when 3 points are taken or you know, no points are taken. So yeah, it does seem really promising. Even the atmosphere at Molineux yesterday seemed pretty good for what it was. So yeah, it does seem like there's a lot there, really. I was quite surprised.
And they seem to have taken to Bruno Lage pretty quickly as well, which after, you know, the... if you look at where they were when Nuno Espirito Santo took them over to where they are now, it's such a different environment at the club. So to have that consistency of the fans feeling involved and feeling like there's momentum and getting that back so quickly is really hugely important. And actually, annoyingly, the opposite is true for Everton, isn't it? I think it wasn't that long ago we were praising that you know the work they were doing and you know just being a bit more efficient, and now it seems to have fallen away again. And I mean they were without Calvert-Lewin, Doucouré, Yerry Mina and André Gomes yesterday.
Anyone misses
that, you know, that spine. But it's got to be a frustrating time.
Putting the shift in on Monday Night Football, I think that's quite impressive from Calvert-Lewin, to be honest. Speaking in that way, just generally as a current player. Can I just clarify what you meant about Wolves when you were saying, because I felt like with Nuno, yes, although the performance dropped off, I felt like at Molineux, it was always, they were still backing. Like, that was the thing that he very much lacked at Tottenham, was he had the kind of backing of the board and the achievements that he'd made and bringing them up and all this stuff.
He had credit in the bank.
I don't feel like the fans turned on him,
right,
but I feel there was perhaps a little bit of inertia in the sense of where it felt like the team was going. I don't think they felt like, oh, we're going to push on and finish higher than we did last season. That had just started to sort of plateau.
Yeah.
So actually, I mean, even if they fall slightly short of that this season, it will feel like forward momentum. It's a funny thing, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Especially trying to crack into essentially the top six, which is their long-term aim.
Yeah, for sure.
It's such a difficult mountain to climb, which I'm sure we'll come onto later as well.
Wolves, yeah, and they have such a storied club, blah, blah, blah. They've been at the very top of the pyramid. So they're seventh in the table at the moment. We started to get onto Everton. For them, they've had absolutely diabolical few games, really, in terms of those losses. So clearly the one we're talking about to Wolves, previously that one to Watford, it's, you know, sometimes images are so symptomatic of what has happened in a game and the kind of the hurts that have been inflicted on a side. The idea of Josh King, who played for them and didn't score in 6 months, getting a hat trick as they just completely combusted at the end of that 5-2 defeat to Watford. So that's a pretty clear-cut example. Hey, West Ham, you know, clearly a good side, particularly at the moment. Before that was Man United, the draw. You know, all right. Norwich, they beat 2-0. And then before that, Villa 3-0.
Yeah.
Well, they lost to Villa, didn't they? Yeah.
Exactly, sorry. Yeah. So it's all, what I'm saying is that they've been losing left, right and centre. I'm not sure beating Norwich really gives you much credit.
And if you look at their fixtures coming up, they've got Spurs, City, Brentford, Liverpool and Arsenal. And like, obviously they've got a target beating Brentford there. Like, but that is a run that just keeps getting harder. But this is the danger, isn't it? You can identify most teams and find a reason why it's not unreasonable to lose to them. You have to just put that behind you and just dig out these wins. I'm intrigued just to see how Benitez is going to turn this around, because he's under a little bit of pressure early on, and obviously him being at Everton at all brings a unique set of pressure that is perhaps going to compound it.
And it did seem like at the beginning he overcame that to an extent, you know, because they had a very, very good start, especially off the back of all the noise that was being made pre-season. But I got the indication yesterday when he did his little pre-match interview that he was getting quite frustrated. I think he's someone who always, you can always read him pretty well in those, in those moments when he's public facing. But I did find it quite interesting that he seems, he's obviously nowhere near the end of his tether, but I think there is a frustration there because of, I suppose, that capitulation against Watford. And then also, I imagine he would have been incredibly frustrated with how bad they were in the first half. Like Damari Gray, who had a decent start to this, you know, to this season, like his touch was, you know, I don't know where he left it, but they got a bit better in the second half. But even then, there was a bit more willingness, but they didn't really seem to have that quality. And I suppose you've outlined the players that they are missing who are going to add to that in a certain way. But yeah, they're just, we did joke about them potentially filling the banter club void.
Yeah.
I didn't realise Newcastle were going to stay in it as long as they did. We thought they were just going to immediately move out of it, but I mean, Everton are making play for it.
They are really stepping up, aren't they? It's easy to forget what a banter club City used to be as well. So this void is huge.
Yeah. Very lonely.
Everyone supported them then and now, didn't they? The City fans. So they won't ever forget. That loss leaves Everton in 10th, but they're only 4 points off Leeds in 17th. Now, it's quite interesting, this bit of the table, because there's so few points in between. And I think, Vish, you started to make the point about how volatile the table still is with only 10 games of the season played. However, we are starting to see a number of patterns that presumably will stick out through the season. We didn't talk about the Leeds game on Monday, but they got only their second win of the season. I know I've just written off the concept of beating Norwich, but still, you have got to, you have got to do it. Vish, where do you feel like Leeds are headed at this point?
I think, I suppose, you know, the one thing that they can take is, despite all the injuries, they're relying a bit more on individual quality. And when one of those players is Rafinha, you know, there's a hell of a lot of quality to get you out of tricky situations, as he did in the Norwich game. But the, to be honest, I don't really know. I'm not really sure about the, you know, the expected time of returns for some of those players. But you'd imagine someone like Bamford coming back would be quite big for them, because Rodrigo isn't quite the, you know, I suppose, defender occupying forward as he is. He prefers to drop back a bit or maybe slink out wide. You know, Jack Harrison, who I picked for first goal scorer, is, you know, in a bit of a rut, and that's kind of why I picked him, because I thought, right, this is going to be it. Surely he'll get over it against Norwich, you know. But the, you know, one of the things we talked about before on the show was, I suppose, Bielsa and how he might fare in this period of unrest, certainly the trickiest time he's had as Leeds manager. And it's one of the things, I don't necessarily think he'll get to a position where he'll get to a point where his position is untenable. But I think, you know, as I said, he's probably going to factor, well, he's probably going to think maybe further down the line, if this continued, that he was a problem rather than have the, you know, bucket kicks from under him. That win is going to be helpful. Did you see his reaction at the end as well? So the final whistle blew and the camera focused on him, presumably to focus on the managers shaking hands, but starting with the winning manager. And he was just crouched down, like staring at the floor. Like he's clearly going through the ringer right now.
Yeah.
He just obviously really needed this.
Wow, if you could only see inside
Bielsa's mind.
Yeah. I don't think he's like a Sherpa into the mind of Bielsa.
That would be great.
like one of the Hobbit boys, you know, when he carries the other Hobbit boy. What's he called? Samwise. Is it Sam?
Yeah, this is just his mate, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the Hobbit boys.
Yeah, it's like, you know, he's plus one up the Mount Doom. Is it Mount? Yeah, Mount it probably Leeds. Is, yeah.
What's interesting about this collection of teams is the fact that some of them are getting real plaudits still. And I think perhaps people have got a tiny bit of a hangover. Brentford have been great, but they also have had that big loss to Burnley. But it's this sense that they could be...
And Palace are on the rise as well.
They're now on
12 points each, Brentford and Palace. Yeah.
Palace, I think of them as having been amazing this season.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, they've played well, but now are getting the results.
Yeah, it's like a creditable draw means a lot more when you're at that end of the table, doesn't it? But it doesn't actually do much for you.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, and when the whole table is like squished up together, maybe it will do stuff for you. It probably won't, Jim, do all that much for Norwich at this point.
No, they're shit, aren't they?
Don't.
It's not me doing it. It's them.
I know, but it's not nice it's obvious that they're shit. It's not, I don't know. I think we should be a bit more like charitable.
We should lie about Norwich.
It's not like we're staring at their mole.
Norfolk Pravda.
What? It's not like we're staring at, you know, something that they like might have on their face that we're like, look, don't mention it.
Oh, do you know you've got a Josh Sargent up front?
Okay. But it's not useful.
He's called Norman.
It's not useful.
He's
to
Norwegian, yes.
Be like, they're shit.
I know it isn't the most detailed analysis. I know that. But they just look so astonishingly out of their depth. They look worse than they did last time. And you can see it in the stress in Farker's face. It's like he looks like he doesn't know what to do and he doesn't know why this is happening. And that seems to be translating to the team. It's so strange, isn't it? You look at the difference between them and Brentford. Obviously, and essentially any team coming up in the playoff, I mean, it's not the most scientific way of looking at it, I suppose, but like you would always think they would be the ones that have really got more of a mountain to climb.
Yeah.
But Norwich seem like that team.
Yeah. Like, I mean, to be fair, I think Jim saying they're shit is more constructive than people who say they are not even trying, because you can well, I suppose, you know, a couple of seasons ago, you could tell they had a really good idea of how they wanted to play.
Mm.
And now they're doing that worse. I don't know what it is. It's that little, you know, it's not as intense. It's not as refined. And you'd think, having had that experience, it would be. I don't know. We have just lost the manager already in November.
Yeah.
And it's the 2nd of November today.
Mm.
But would it be the worst thing if he went? Or are they just going to buy their time?
As Richard Jolly pointed out, Nuno, the earliest manager to go who won manager of the month back in August.
Richard Jolly. Everyone's a banger, isn't it? Every tweet's an absolute banger.
He's brilliant.
And of course, Norwich won the championship with 97 points, but have lost 8.
Yeah, and exactly. And you don't do that without, you know, being an intense side. But it's just weird that they come to the Premier League and, yeah, are doing worse than they did before.
He bought a house in the area, didn't he? Which is enjoyably Partridge.
Yeah. Even during that season in the Premier League, you know, when you're speaking to people around the club, they were like, oh no, he's fine. He's bought a house. He's settled in the area. Yeah. He's not going anywhere. It's like, well, maybe he should. Maybe a bit of jeopardy.
Yeah.
All right. Getting on the old, let's kill off these managers. I don't think we should be going in on Farker, to be honest.
I'm not going in on him.
Absurdly privileged managers at the very top. But yeah, I see what you mean. It seems like a change is probably required at Norwich in order to get them out of this slump.
Yeah, I mean,
but are they even set up to get out of it if they were to do that?
Yeah, sure.
Because I think we've done a whole chat on how admired their whole setup is and how they try not to overspend and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And the fact that a lot of their fans seem to be happy to be a yo-yo.
They may have to yo-yo to survive, which is
Yeah, exactly. And you get parachute payments and there's like benefits and all this sort of stuff. But equally, you don't want someone just stinking out the Premier League when there could be another team that would do much, much better. I don't know.
Just play Billy Gilmore.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do. Play Billy Gilmore.
All right.
At least for our benefit.
We'll send them a note. It's time to get to a break, guys, and catch our second breakfast. We'll be back after this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Danny Welbeck, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Yes, you are, everybody. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. It's me, Jim, and Vish in your ears this morning, or whenever. We've now got your emails.
Yeah.
If you got a new nickname for Pete, or you're a big fan of Vish. If you want Jules to swear at you, or you think Jim's a dish. If you like Kate's pop culture references, or got a Sven story for Speller. If you disagree with...
I'm fading it out because it's quite long.
It's long, isn't it?
But it's lovely, Toby Ellett, but I've realised that if you fade it out, it completely... excuses the whole point of having an email jingle because it doesn't get to the bit where he says the shirt for ramble.com.
Ed Oldham's been in touch. He says, I thought you might be interested to hear about a landmark night for Manx football on Saturday. Just over 2,000 people, myself included, went to watch FC Isle of Man's first ever home game in the North West Counties Football League Division 1 South, the 10th tier of English football, which took place at our national stadium, The Bowl. This is the club's first season competing in the English leagues, and because of COVID restrictions, they've had to wait this long to play at home after 14 consecutive away league matches. Despite going a goal down after 2 minutes against Brockton, sounds like a made-up place, the Ravens roared back to secure a well-deserved 2-1 victory and sent the partisan crowd home happy. The players and staff have shown incredible commitment to the cause so far, taking time off work, training sessions taking place at 6 a.m. during the week. Because the Isle of Man Football Association is affiliated with the English FA, we don't have a national team, despite having a population which is larger than many of the minnows, which are members of UEFA and FIFA. A de facto national team, Ellen Vannin, was set up and ran independently for a few years in the 2010s. It took part in a handful of conifer tournaments during that time, but the project ultimately ran out of steam and was not backed by our FA because the team and the possibility of exploring UEFA membership conflicted with its ambitions to retain the link with its English counterpart. So much information there about the Manx football. So thanks, Ed.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Just to be on a tier of English football and to be, you know, I suppose in a broader sense, part of, you know, a little country or to represent your island. That's pretty cool.
Never been to the Isle of Man.
Oh, I have. You have to say hello. We talked about this before. You have to say hello to the fairies when you go over the bridges.
Right.
Oh, it's a really cool place. They've got like, there's a lot of that, like you can buy eggs from the side of the road. Just leave your money in an honesty box and that sort of thing. It's very friendly.
Right. So it's rife for a robbing.
Yeah, we should go. Yeah. Nick some eggs.
Get involved.
Yeah.
God, an eggs. What a great thing to steal because you can do, you know, terrorise other people with that.
Yeah,
it's both something
two
to,
crimes for,
something
for
to steal and something to inflict pain.
Steal a weapon.
Yeah.
Two crimes for the price of none, essentially.
We've really taken this on a dark turn, which I didn't anticipate as we read through that lovely email about
I never egged anyone
people.
As a kid and I regret it.
We've talked about this before as well, actually. I think you can. It's Halloween, you've missed your chance. That's when egging is rife.
No one will expect it on bonfire night, though.
That's a great point.
If you do it when the fireworks are on, it'll be really loud. Be like, what happened then?
And go wild in Diwali as well. Sorry, go on.
Again, the Football Ramble does not endorse hooliganism of any kind. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. Right, the situation, friends, I think, although I haven't updated it on my little Twitter feed here, is that Antonio Conte is still set to take the reins at Tottenham Hotspur. Reports I've been saying all morning that it's a done deal, £20 million contract through to June 2023. So the idea is that's an 18-month deal. The curious situation about this, of course, is that he was approached in the summer when there was all this mad backwards and forwards. And he said we didn't have the setup to mean he could do a good job, basically. Mm. I don't know specifically what has changed in the last 4 months. Jim, perhaps you can enlighten me.
Interestingly, James Horncastle wrote a really sort of in-depth piece about this in The Athletic, as they're prone to do this morning. And he mentioned that obviously the uncertainty about Harry Kane in the summer would have been a huge thing for Conte, particularly when he was going from Inter, where there was a lot of uncertainty about Romelu Lukaku. So for him to go from that situation back into that exact situation probably wasn't that appealing. Things are, obviously the situation with Kane is a bit complicated at the moment. We don't know where that's going to go. Maybe he will agitate for a move again. But you would think a manager of the calibre of Conte coming in might make him think twice about that. So I think, you know, there are a few fewer variables essentially from Conte's point of view at this point. I think they look a better prospect now, despite, you know, the weird situation with Nuno than they did when they approached him at first. I mean, I think, I don't know how you feel about it, Kate. I feel like this has the potential to be what Mourinho was supposed to be. It must be really excited, right?
Yeah, it's weird to think that people still believe Mourinho would be that. And I think Luke talked about it a bit. Everyone talked about it quite a lot yesterday on the pod about this idea that Daniel Levy has just made a few quite unusual and not, I was going to say rash, but it's not exactly rash. It's almost like that was the deliberate plan. It's just not a good plan in terms of trying to get to a position where you could bring in Mourinho, when I think pretty much everybody connected with the club would have said if you could back Pochettino, that would be their preference.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a bit of a shame that we had to go through this kind of thought experiment made flesh. And I feel like the situation with Nuno, I think also Jules or someone said yesterday, like, yeah, he's, this whole thing of him being a very decent guy and not being able to communicate that, being quite like a terse, you've seen him all over these press conferences. He won't say stuff. He's very thoughtful. Like when I've heard him speak in more depth and those kind of sit downs, you know, I'm pro Nuno in the sense that like, I like what he's about. I like his idea of creating a sense of team unity and exactly. Yeah. I know there's this idea of him playing this quite, compact, dull football, but he's not, I wouldn't put him in the same category as Jose Mourinho at all. And I think, I know I keep harking on about it, but that season when Wolves were great, they were really exciting to watch. And it's not just because Adama Traore is quick and has baby oil on his arms. You know, they were exciting. That counter-attacking threat was just electric. Like, you knew that they could strike you at any moment. And so, yeah, I didn't, frankly, to go backwards before going forwards, I didn't like what I saw at the stadium on Saturday. You know, I've watched that game back in full, not with a pint, like in the morning. So I've watched it in detail. I think that there was a level of harshness about certainly the first half that I don't actually think was merited. I think people will be a tad conditioned by watching 30 minutes of build up on Sky that talks exclusively about Manchester United in the way that they read what they then see. I'm not criticising anybody for that particularly. I just mean like that's just research in psychology suggests that if you are influenced in that way, then you're going to go down a certain route. So all I'm going to say is I didn't like to see the players booed off after that first half, which we were only behind because of that incredible Cristiano Ronaldo goal. And I also think that no shots on target thing is a little bit of a red herring in the sense that there were chances, you know, Son could have scored. There are various other, but there were a few pot shots, but there was forward momentum. So have I spoken too much?
No, not at all.
I realised I was speaking a lot, actually trying to, I don't know, set things right for what happened at the end of that.
But leave Nuno alone.
Yeah.
I guess so. Yeah, I didn't realise I felt so actually until I started talking.
I'm glad you've mentioned his earlier seasons at Wolves because I feel a little bit like I remember it being fun.
It was really
boring.
Fun.
Yeah, definitely. Jota as well. There was a lot to enjoy from them. Moutinho and Neves, the first season in the Premier League. Yeah.
And the game you mentioned earlier that even that this but the Well, the Spurs win, it was not. The Wolves win, 3-2. Yeah. I was there, that's the Mason Derby. I was there with my mum, who supports Wolves. So, yeah, we both got something. We both got a pound of flesh, I guess. Just wanted to say that. But in terms of Antonio Conte, clearly that's a different thing that you're dealing with. He's not Jose Mourinho. He's managed to, I think in the case of Inter, and this is maybe the connection to Jose, quite apart from all the other connections, is that he is someone who does kind of push people to accept what he wants in quite an extreme way, right?
Yeah, but also quite, I don't know, he's quite holistic in how he deals with the squad, whereas I think Mourinho is very much like, I trust you, I don't trust any of you. and Spurs have, in part because they've had Mourinho, but Spurs seems to go through these waves of having different people in the cold. So like right now it's Harry Winks and Dele Alli.
Yeah.
It was Lo Celso for a little bit. It was Ndombele for the start of his time at the club. It's a kind of weird space to be. Eric Dier's, you know, sat in that space for a few years. But if you look at what Conte did at Chelsea, what he did at Inter, even what he did at Inter with the offcuts from other squads, like Victor Moses and Ashley Young and Damian.
Well, that's exactly what he's going to have to go
Alexis
and do.
Sanchez, yeah. He's basically...
like Premier League tribute acts.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But, you know, that's basically the squad he has at Spurs. And also, you know, he's dealing with personalities at Spurs who've been burned in very different ways, starting with Harry Kane right down to Harry Winks in terms of what they wanted from the season, what they have with it now. I also think... I absolutely agree with the people who talk about Daniel Levy. You know, Luke said it on the show yesterday. You know, he has to answer for these continual missteps that he's had. But I also think it's really interesting that if you look at the signing of Conte now and seeing where Spurs were at the height of Pochettino. So I'm kind of not even really talking about that Champions League final. I'm talking about the season before that where they were pushing for the league title in the way that, you know, that year that Leicester won the Premier League, it was very much a sense that everyone's fallen away and Spurs were the last to fall away in that situation.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, certainly in previous Premier League seasons, a team will come out from nowhere, have a period of sustained, you know, excellence, let's call it that, and not really have the knock-on effect of that. I think this is the knock-on effect of that, where you have Spurs in a bright, shiny new stadium who are seen as a club out of the Champions League rather than to getting to the Champions League. It's now the conversation has turned to that's actually their place now. They should be there rather than before, how do they break in? And now, you know, you're signing, because of that, you're signing one of the best managers in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's going to improve the squad in terms of improving the players that he has available, because there's so much more talent in there that's not been unlocked for a long time. Like Ndombele being an obvious example of that. That's the player people always used to seem to talk about. But
also this guy, Harry Kane.
That fella. He'll come good.
He was fucking poor.
He used to come off the bench
actually,
in the Europa League. That guy, yeah? Yeah. Yeah.
Do you mean Europa Conference?
Yeah. He was like the old Dane Scarlett.
And obviously he's going to make Spurs a really attractive destination, because obviously with a stadium and with some of those players in there already, they are an attractive destination. But Conte, it just bumps them up a gear. Mm. So, I mean, the challenge is the Premier League, isn't it? It's essentially, you've got City, Liverpool and Chelsea that you're trying to sort of pull in. If you bring Conte in, it's because you're trying to win the league. And if Conte goes to a club, it's because he feels he can win the league there. So it's a really, really exciting upgrade in Spurs' ambitions immediately. You look terrified, Kate. There's somewhere to fall from now, isn't it? I know what you... I would be exactly the same, I think.
It's also... I don't necessarily think this wholeheartedly, because I'm not going to lie, you know, it does, as a lot of people made mention of on Twitter yesterday, you know, Solskjaer beating Spurs, getting them to sack their manager and then take out his biggest threat to his job.
Yeah.
That was, you know, people saying that Solskjaer was playing 4D chess. You know, I'm less enamoured about that personally. But what I would say is to have, we all talk about the Premier League being a destination for the best players in the world. And certainly after the pandemic, the Premier League is definitely the league that has survived and is therefore going to thrive at the expense of, you know, the other major leagues. But we're in a situation now where in the Premier League, we've got Pep Guardiola, Jurgen Klopp, Thomas Tuchel, Antonio Conte. Previous time we've had that is in the 16-17 season, where we had Conte, Ranieri, Mourinho and Wenger as well. So it's pretty cool. But the difference between this foursome is like they're all could easily finish 1-2-3-4.
Wow, yeah.
Exciting.
You very much sold that to me. Notice you didn't include your boy Solskjaer in amongst that tactical melee, but fair enough. You will get to watch him pull his punches tonight against Atalanta away, and then also in action, Malmo and Chelsea. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says he's been soaking up all the criticism, so that's good to see. He says, "I've always enjoyed criticism. Keep that coming, Vish." That's fine.
Well, I suppose it's been, you know, we talk about Mourinho doing this whole us against them thing. The thing with Manchester United has been it's been them against Solskjaer.
Yeah.
You know, he has been the weak link and they've gone at him. So I can understand why it comes across as a bit more personal from his point of view, yeah.
Also in action, Barcelona. Ronald Koeman reportedly turning down a 7 to 8 million euro offer from Barca for what they owe him after firing him. He apparently wants all the £12 million he's owed.
I'm going to give it up because I love the club. It's like, no, good for you, Ronald.
Yeah,
good for you.
Take it. They've got Dynamo Kiev tonight. Now, before we go, we have got a new show to tell you about. People, later today, we'll see the release of Up Front. It is a brand new women's football show and it's over on Football Ramble Presents. It's going to be released every Tuesday and we're covering the biggest stories in the WSL and women's football around the world. Cannot wait to hear the first episode of this one. We have lined up some amazing hosts for the show. Every week you can join journalist and broadcaster Flo Lloyd-Hughes, Rachel O'Sullivan from the excellent Girls on the Ball and Crystal Palace goalkeeper Chloe Morgan. It is out later today. It's on Football Ramble Presents. If you haven't already subscribed, do it. Get yourselves over there to have a listen. Up Front is the name of the show. Can't wait.
Family's getting bigger and better.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I'm so excited about this one.
It should be good.
Guys, that is it from us for today.
Enjoy the football later tonight. Say goodbye, Jim.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Vish.
Bye.
On tomorrow's show, it's me, Annie and Luke. Thanks for listening to today's Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Abroad in Japan is the Stack podcast that brings you a taste of life in Japan. Recently, Chris Broad was joined by NHK contributor and legendary video game streamer Pete for a chat about his life as a TEFL teacher.
I one time taught a woman who was still pregnant, and I had to teach her stomach.
What?
Yes, and so...
Wait, what?
She came in, 7 months pregnant, and they were like, no, she wants you to just to talk to her stomach. So I was sitting there giving instruction, very specifically. No. She held her tummy, and she said, I think he's getting it. And I thought, oh dear God.
Just bizarre. Search Abroad in Japan on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. New episodes every Wednesday and Sunday.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.